Welcome to the DDP Archives. I'm your host, Chris, without my tag team partner in podcasting, Greg. Greg, we miss you. But with me tonight is an absolute star, a guy that stood out at the Synergy 7-Eleven show and absolutely shot up to the top of my list of favorite independent superstars, my man, Matt Vertigo. Matt, what's going on?
I'm doing good, bro. It's good to be talking to someone from New York.
I definitely heard. We, you know, like I said, Greg and I are huge fans. We got familiar with you from Synergy 7-Eleven, and Colin and our friend LSG can't stop saying enough good things about you. So I am absolutely psyched to have you in our indie lounge tonight. You know, let's tell people a little bit about of your story of how you got to Synergy 7-Eleven, because you had a fairly long journey before you were there and kind of broke out on Fight TV.
Yeah, I've been wrestling for about 10 years now, in and out of the game. You know, life throws you curveballs, so sometimes you can't always focus, but I've had the privilege to really take the time to focus, especially for all of 2019. You know, I focused on my game, I honed my craft, and when you do that, you know, eventually good things happen. That Colin gave me the call and told me that I was going to go up against KTB, and I told myself, look, I got to give it my all, I got to go out there, and I got something to prove. So that's exactly the way I took it, that's exactly why I handled it, and I'm earning everyone's respect by doing so, you know, thank you.
Dude, it was a ridiculous performance. You know, how much did it mean to you to have Colin step out from the back and address you in front of the whole crowd?
You know, that meant everything. You know, the best part about it was that it was completely out of nowhere. I was thanking the crowd just for, you know, the crowd was giving me love, and I just wanted to thank them. Look, you know, I appreciate you guys for cheering for me and for supporting me, and that's what that moment was really all about. But then when Colin came out, you know, I got a little bit nervous, you know, not knowing exactly what was going on, what exactly was going to happen. But, you know, he put me over. You know, he told me that the three things he really wanted to let me know was, you know, Black Lives Matter, nurses and first responders matter, which is what that 7-Eleven show is all about. And then, you know, that Matt Vertigo matters, and that's going to stay with me forever. So, you know, thank you, Colin, and thank you, Synergy, for such a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, it was definitely an emotional moment. I know we spoke to Colin afterwards, and he said the exact same thing, that it was completely off the cuff, that he very easily could have done it behind, you know, behind closed doors in the locker room, but wanted you to have that moment, and that, you know, it was special for the fans too. You know, I think that's
very special,
super powerful moment across, you know, the country, because I know I was tweeting back and forth with people all over who are watching on Fight, and it was just an awesome moment, you know, and it's something that people don't understand. Some people don't get why we love indie wrestling, and moments like that are why you love indie wrestling.
Right, this is what wrestling's all about, brother.
Absolutely. KTB is a beast.
Yeah, but he is, dude.
Here's the funny thing with that. My brother was an independent wrestler years ago at ECPW.
And I went to ECPW. Oh, wow.
I don't know if you crossed Mario Zudo. He was there for a few years.
I might not have crossed paths with him, but I know ECPW, so I continue.
So my brother said to me, you realize who KTB is, right? And I go, really good, but no. He's like, that's Kyle Smiley. When I saw Kyle back in the day, I think he was even in the juniors at that point. Like, that dude just turned into a man and is just phenomenal.
A monster.
It's incredible. I'm hoping at some point to get him on here too, because he is just super talented, and the sky's the limit for both of you guys.
Yeah, no, thank you. Kyle's fantastic. You know, he didn't have to do what he did at the end of that match either. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't put too many guys over like that. So, you know, I really do appreciate the fact that after the match, he shook my hand, he raised my hand high, even though I got the loss. So, you know, kudos to KTB, and don't be surprised you don't see him on TV real soon. The dude is phenomenal.
absolutely. And the work you both have put in, you know, it shows. Now, your athleticism is kind of what stood out to us. You know, at 6'5", doing the things that you're doing, it's incredible. Talk about how you kind of put together the psychology of a match and where you what the journey you want to take the fans on.
The reality of it is that I do things that people my height probably shouldn't be doing. And I think that's where the vertigo really comes into play with Matt Vertigo. I don't want it to be like, you know, every single match, this is what you're going to get. It's kind of like, you may get this, you may get that. You got to watch to really find out. That's really the psychology behind Matt Vertigo. I don't like having a strategic set, move set, that I use every single show. I want to pull out different things that you may have not seen someone my height do every other show. And that's really what's exciting about Matt Vertigo, is that you don't know what you're going to see.
And that's the truth. And I know I can't wait. I'm going to be there on the 29th. I can't wait to see it live. And you being in that five-person scramble match.
That's yes, just announced a few wall. Hours ago.
Yeah, that's going to be absolutely off the wall.
Oh, for sure. We're going to pull out a whole bunch of things. I mean, you never know. Maybe you'll see a 6:30 on a Matt Vertigo. You never know.
That, you know, I hope so. And when you do, I'll be in the front row, so point at me and let me know that I knew it was coming.
I told you. I'm warning you now. You never know what you're going to get.
So let's slide out of wrestling for a couple minutes. Two New York guys. Let's talk a little New York sports. You're rocking the Knicks jersey. How frustrating is it to be a Knicks fan?
Oh, man, dude. It sucks. You know, this is the harsh reality of it is that this is the city that never sleeps. And everyone has an opinion. Everyone likes this or hates that. So it's so difficult when it comes to New York sports, because especially the Knicks, because everyone has an opinion about it and every opinion is different. So it's like, what do the owners do when they listen to the fan base? You know, they listen to these people, listen to this. Some people wanted Phil Jackson. Some people wanted Mark Jackson. Some people, it's all over the place. Knicks fans are all over the place. And I think that's the problem with the New York Knicks, is that their fan base is just so crazy.
That and Jim Dolan. Jim Dolan's a
piece of shit. Yeah,
he is the absolute worst. And congratulations on saying that and getting banned from Madison Square Garden.
Screw it. He's a piece of shit. I go to MSG every year. Yeah, good luck. This dude is a complete waste of time, messing with people he just shouldn't be messing with, making moves he shouldn't be moving. You know, right now I'm wearing a KP jersey, and a lot of people in New York don't like KP because of the way he handled things. But I mean, if you're a young star and you're the team that you want to be on, one, the fans booed you on draft night, which I was there for. And when I tell you that the boos were louder than you think, like, they were a lot louder than you think. It was like as if, like, remember when the Hardys returned at WrestleMania? I'm not trying to compare it to that, because that was like a pop on, like, you can't even compare that pop to anything that's happened in the past 10 years, in my opinion.
I agree.
But the place was louder than any SummerSlam I've ever been to in Barclays Center, just for KP getting booed. So it's like, when a fan base doesn't necessarily like you, and then the front office is garbage, it's kind of like, why would you stay? Why would you want to be here? And I think that's the problem, is that when it comes to the Knicks, it's like, what star wants to be here? That his name is not Carmelo Anthony.
Stars in New York, they, you know, other than in baseball, you don't see a whole lot of stars coming to New York, because it's not an easy place to play because of that 24/7 sports media. Every one of the millions and millions of people have opinions. Like you said, nobody agrees on anything.
Anything.
You know, like, I'm not a huge basketball guy. I watched during the playoffs, and I'm watching now because I just was so not watching sports that I got frustrated and needed to watch something.
Yeah, it hurt.
To me, I loved the NBA back in like the mid to late 90s. You know, I was in high school, that was college.
That was a golden era.
Jordan age. And I liked it because, like, they played offense, but they also played defense. And I always thought that was what was fun about it. It, to me, watching basketball today, it's almost like watching Oregon's football offense. How many points can you score? And as long as you score more than your opponent, it doesn't matter how many you allow. And that, to me, that's not what, like, if I wanted to play a video game, I'd play a video game.
I agree. But you see, like, that's not anything, that has nothing to do with, like, the players or how the game is played. In reality, that's really all about ownership, you know, and reffing. You know, the rules have changed. So if I can't touch someone, then how can I possibly play the best defense I possibly can play without touching you? And then if I even tap you, it's a foul. So I need to give you space. And it's also injuries. The way that the game is played right now, at such a fast pace, injuries has piled up. And I think that that's what they're just trying to do. They're trying to mitigate the amount of injuries that they get and minimize the danger of playing. And I think that's the whole reason why defense no longer really matters. Like, you could have a full defensive lineup, and as long as the other team, like you said, scores more than you, then it doesn't even matter. Look at the Rockets.
Yeah.
Prime example. Look at the Rockets.
Example of it, you know. But, I mean, it is fun to watch in a tight game. I enjoy that. I won't lie.
Oh, of course. Those tight games is incredible.
I'm a big football guy. I coached college football for 3 years, and I coached high school football for 16. So, like, football is my deal, but I definitely respect the level of athleticism it takes to play basketball. I actually coached JV basketball 1 year in the Bronx because they they didn't have a coach, and they're like, hey, will you do us a favor? And I was like, sure, like, let's give these kids an opportunity. So I had a cut from, like, 300 kids. There's a football coach trying to cut a basketball team down to 12. And the first game, a father walks over and he goes, you know, coach, you kind of coach basketball like football. And I turn to him and I go, well, thank you. And he goes, that wasn't a compliment. And I go, yeah, but I'm a football coach, and your kid gets an opportunity to play basketball that he wouldn't have had if I wasn't coaching right now. And he goes, okay, fair point. And we did win one game that year. Just one.
Damn. But, I mean, you're not about – so, I mean, what could you really do? You know, you did your best. That's what really matters.
Oh, 100%. And it was about giving the kids the opportunity. You know, they
– exactly.
They – it was fun. Don't get me wrong. It – you know, the flaws with JV basketball are you practice at 6 p.m. and then I have to drive home. And so it's late nights. Because everybody gets the gym before JV boys. But it was a wake up call for me that if you love coaching, you can coach any sport out there. You just kind of have to know things a little bit more.
Of course, you got to have that intuition. You also got to know exactly what you're doing. So, I mean, but you gave kids the opportunity, and that's what really matters there, you know?
Definitely. Now, I know you're a Mets fan. And my father is a long-suffering Mets fan. Christ. So, you know.
We're talking about the Knicks. Now we're talking about the Mets. Jesus Christ.
God. Like I said, my father's a Mets fan. He had two sons that became Yankee fans.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. You know, but my father says it all the time. Like, he won't go. He has never set foot in Citi Field. He won't until the Wilpon sell. You know, we've offered to take him, and he's like, I'm not going. Don't waste your money. But there's so much young talent on the Mets, especially in the pitching staff. Like, it's baffling to me that they don't have more success than they do.
It's because they can't stay healthy. That's literally the Mets' number one problem, is none of their players can stay healthy. Every year, it's always some type of crazy injury, and they go down for most of the year, the most of the season. It's always something. Or in recent years, look at Cespedes. It's always something. You can never have a good season with him. Every year, it's some type of BS, whether he hurts himself in his house, or this season where he plays a couple of games and then realizes he just doesn't feel like playing anymore. Like, it's always something, some type of drama. There's something about this orange and blue that causes drama. I don't know what it is.
You know what? That is very true. I never thought of it that way.
There's something about this orange and blue that just causes, there's always some type of trauma. It's a huge pain.
The DeGrom is ridiculous, though.
DeGrom is amazing.
He's, like, unreal. Like, I'll watch him pitch, and it's just, it's like watching art.
Like, yeah, he's an artist, for sure.
And listen, I think they, you know, once they, next year when they get their pitching staff back healthy, because obviously, listen, Tommy John surgery has the time that it does.
Yeah, Tommy John surgery
is going to give people fits and then hopefully compete with my Yankees. Like, I look back at 2000 is probably the most fun I had watching baseball as a Yankee fan, because I got to beat the Red Sox and then I got to beat the Mets. Like, that's so, you know, series, I went to school in Connecticut, so half my friends were massholes. So they, one of them actually, we watched the last game of the series. He gets, in typical fraternity brother fashion, gets really mad in his room, and he takes the TV and he throws it out the window from the third floor.
My God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a reason why we called him Animal. He was an animal. And then his roommate turns to him and he goes, "Motherfucker, that was my TV."
It wasn't even his own TV.
I was like,
"Oh,
dude,
my God."
I was like, I think it's time to go, guys. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, it's time. It's definitely time to go home, bro.
I was like, yeah, that's going to be an absolute war in this room. And that's, I want it. No part of trying to pull this apart, because it
out.
Needs to happen.
We're out. Let's bounce. Come on. Game over.
But, and then to, you know, go back and forth calling with my dad, because this is obviously a little bit before texting was a thing, you know, calling and being like, "Hey, what happened to your Mets tonight?" It was awesome. I absolutely loved it. He would have done the same thing back if it was, the roles were reversed. He has no problem doing it. So it's fun in our household when both are good. And that's
love right there.
You know, that's the thing that people don't like. I don't actively root for the Mets, but I also don't actively root against the Mets. Like, I want the Mets to make the playoffs just so I have that Mets-Yankees World Series, so that I have something to cheer for with my dad. You know, and that's always cool. Like, I was lucky enough. I'm a Giants fan, and he's a Giants fan, and he's, we had season tickets together for years at the old stadium. It was incredible. Those were the best experiences, getting to go and spend time with my dad, like seeing a side of him that you don't see with mom around, kind of deal. So
now I know what you mean.
That part was awesome. You know, like, never thought I'd see my dad drinking Bloody Marys at 8 o'clock in the morning, but you know, it happened. Sports is the ultimate unifier in friends and family, and like, that's what people don't seem to get. Like, the people that don't get sports and even don't get wrestling, it's the community that comes out of it. Like, even just, we brought back the podcast in March, and when we did that, the last 2 years I was coaching college football, I got let go. You know, it's a business, it happens, you know, you bounce back. And I hit up Greg and said, "Hey, you want to bring the podcast back?" And he's like, "Yeah, I've been waiting to do that for the last 2 years, so let's do it." And then about 2 weeks in, I go, "What if we started doing interviews?" And he's like, "I think that's a scary idea. I don't know if I like it." I'm like, "No, I think this will be absolutely awesome." And we have since done, I think you are number 52 since,
oh, wow,
since May.
I like that number.
Like, we absolutely have just crushed it, because we knew eventually he was going back to work and having a kid. Eventually I teach, so eventually I'm going back to school. So with that, you know, maybe we'll get two done a week, if that. So now we'll be that far ahead. So it's kind of awesome when, you know, and the community, like Colin especially, just absolutely welcomed us. Like, we recorded a post show from the show last time. So, like, I'm calling into my own podcast with Greg for him to record it while I'm there. And I'm pulling, like, TJ Crawford from the side going, "Hey, come talk to us." It was
pretty
absolutely
awesome.
Sick. And then Colin's introducing me to everybody afterwards. And I'm just like, I'm nobody, but thank you for making me feel like somebody. Like, it's,
yeah, no,
it's
wrestling cool. Will do that. Wrestling will definitely do that to you.
You know, I mean, we talked to Nikita Koloff probably about a month ago, and it blew my mind. The dude that scared the hell out of me on TV when I was a little kid is sitting there bullshitting with us and having a good time doing it. It was unreal.
That's awesome.
Oh, sick. The wrestling community is so welcoming if they know that you're coming in with the right intentions.
I agree. The wrestling community, even though it may have its ups and downs, but any community pretty much has that. Mm-hmm. Like, look at the Marvel community. Look at the DC community. Look at the Star Wars community. Yep. they can turn on each other quickly. But the one thing is that when you realize that you're coming in with good intention and a positive mindset, everything just opens up and you get welcomed by so many nice people and so many like progressive people that just want you to do better while we do better. Like, let's all do better together. It's fantastic.
It is. And that's kind of the coolest thing. Like, our platform's not huge, but it's still a platform. And, correct. You know, we want to share that with everybody that we can, and then in turn everybody's just been so friggin' cool, like, yes. Just unreal, like, just blows my mind. Like, last night we talked to Simon Gotch, and you know, listen, he was in the WWE, he's a great dude, you know. I talked to him at the Synergy show and he blew my mind just telling stories. Like, I was like, no, we need to get this guy. And sure enough, you know, he sits down and he's like, you know, let's talk anything but wrestling. And, you know, if it comes up naturally, I'm like, all right, cool, man. You know, no doubt. We went down a rabbit hole for an hour and 45 minutes just talking about movie conspiracy theories.
That's pretty awesome.
It was unreal. And in doing that, we got wrestling stuff out of it unintentionally. And, like, he walked away going, I'd love to do it again. And I was just like, okay. Like, we could definitely dive down rabbit holes anytime anybody wants, because it's just so much fun. Like, it really is. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking behind your 6'5" shoulders and seeing all the Funko Pops.
So, oh yeah, you see all the craziness back there?
You're a toy guy, and I have recently become a toy guy. You don't see it in the background. I have a podcasting room that I just have to put carpet in to be able to get rid of the echo. And once I do that, I'll be in there. So that's all my sports memorabilia. Like, I have most of my sports memorabilia here, but I have all my starting lineups from, like, the 80s and 90s.
Okay, that's sick.
Strategic wrestling figures. So talk to me about collecting toys and where that came from.
Pretty much when it came to collectibles, it pretty much started from, do you go to, like, conventions? Have you heard of convention Too Many Games?
I have not, but inform me about it, because it sounds like something I'd enjoy.
So in PA, near the Philly area, every single June, there's a convention called Too Many Games, where I would compare it to, like, Comic-Con for gaming. I would compare it to that. But there's, like, a huge game room where there's tons of games to play. There's tons of tournaments going on that you could sign up for online. Like, you don't have to be an esports competitor to sign up for these things. So it's very welcoming to casual players. There's a gigantic show floor that has tons of different, you know, memorabilia. That's where I got most of this stuff from. Well, the Thanos came from Target, but, like, the Power Ranger helmet came from Too Many Games. A lot of these video game pops came from Too Many Games. The Halo sword that I have over here, I'm not sure if you can see it. The Halo sword came from Too Many Games. So I definitely would suggest going. Another cool thing about it is that they have cosplay wrestling at Too Many Games. So they have a big wrestling show, and it's all cosplay wrestling. So you'll have Ryu versus Iron Tager and all these different guys. And it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
It's pretty sick. It's a three-day pass. The three pass is like $50. So it's like nothing. So it's like, you know, you get a nice hotel out there, you go for 3 days, and you just have a blast playing games, meeting people, getting in tournaments. And for any gamer and people to collect collectibles, it's a really cool experience.
I'm going to have to try to convince my wife that that's a good idea. I don't know if she's going to go for it, but I'm going to try.
This year, I mean, it got canceled this year because of COVID, but next year, I mean, who knows what could happen with that. But I went every year for the past 5 years, and it's been an amazing time every single time.
I'm definitely going to have that talk with the wife. You know, she lets me have my wrestling habits, so she'll probably let me do it. I see that as
you'll have fun, too. There's lots of things to see and do. It's really cool.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. You know, Philly is probably not my favorite city to go to, but it's not bad. You know,
it's not in the city. It's like on a on the outskirts of the city. So it's still kind of like being in like the, you know, I can't really describe it, but like the Amish, like it's kind of there. Like
that's almost Lancaster. Awesome.
That's yeah, awesome. Like Lancaster.
Nice. The one thing I will say with Philly, they have really good food.
They do. Oh my god.
Like, that is, my friends and I always talk about going down just to get food.
Yes, all the time. I was speaking with some friends today about going to get Geno's. Yeah, just today.
That to me is cool. Like, I work for USA Football and I traveled around the country, and that was the coolest part. Was like, I get to the hotel and be like, all right, give me something that's good local cuisine because I want to see what it's all about. Yes. The only one that sucked was Cleveland. They were like, yeah, we don't have anything that's local cuisine.
There's always something weird about Ohio. I've lived in Ohio for 2 years, and I've never gotten anything like super pot. Like, why is Ohio such a weird state? What the hell?
It was bizarre to me. So that one was interesting because the clinic took place during my season. So I literally, my boss called me and goes, what time are you done with practice today? Or tomorrow? He called me on a Friday. I'm like, practice is done at noon. Why? He goes, I need you to do a clinic on Sunday in Cleveland. If I put you on a 3 o'clock flight after practice, you good? I'm like, is my return flight Sunday night to be at practice, you know, Monday morning? He's like, yeah, we'll make that happen. I was like, okay. So I went to Cleveland. Let's go. I was like, I don't want to get pizza in Cleveland. Like, don't tell me about pizza.
Yeah, you're from New York. Why would you want pizza?
I don't want pizza from Cleveland. I don't want a cheesesteak. I'm not in Philly. Like,
or a burger.
Give me something that's, you know, like, that you're known for. And they're just like, yeah, we're really not known for anything good. I'm sorry. And I'm like, well, and about sums up Cleveland.
Well, thanks. I traveled all the way out here to try some really good cuisine, and we have nothing good in Cleveland.
Exactly. And I was like, and that's why the Browns suck. No one wants to come here because we have no good food.
Like, seriously, it's so weird. It reminded me of within one of the first moments I went to Ohio. I was living there for about 3 years, and one of my friends said, hey, you know, let's go to, I think, Columbus. They said, let's go to Columbus. It'll remind you. Oh, no, it was Cincinnati. Excuse me. Let's go to Cincinnati. There was an ROH show going on in Cincinnati. And they said, let's go check it out. It'll remind you of New York City. It'll make you feel like you're at home. I've never seen a city that was a ghost town in my life. There was places to park everywhere. There, you can yell and you can hear your echo. And it's like tall buildings. City. No one's there. Ghost town.
I hate when people try to tell me that their city's like New York, and it's just, it's like, not. No
city is like New York.
It
ever
cannot be. Like, I'm not saying your city's not cool. Like, every city has something going for it, except Cleveland and Cincinnati. New York is just New York, and that kind of leads me to my next question, because we've had the privilege of talking to a lot of New York wrestlers. Talk about that New York wrestling community, because you guys all interact with each other consistently.
Yeah, New York is pretty cool. I'm not really known for wrestling in New York. I mostly wrestle in Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania. But New York, the talent here is through the roof. There are so many good, especially like House of Glory. Like, oh my God, don't get me started with House of Glory. Their talent is unbelievable. Some of my best friends went to House of Glory, and some of my close friends go there now, and they just continue to make stars. I love the New York wrestling community. Everything is so close, and everyone talks, and everyone wants to see everyone succeed. That's like the best part, is that sometimes you get into a community where maybe there'll be a couple of guys that's like in it for them, or you know, you'll get guys that really don't care about the locker room. They care about their own personal progression. But it's like every locker room I've ever been in New York, everyone wants to elevate each other. So then as long as more people are elevating, the matches are better. No one wants to be the best. They want to be, they each want to be really good together. I love wrestling, man.
Do you want to laugh? So
what's up?
Colin says I have a doppelganger in professional wrestling. Do you want to take a guess at who that is?
Okay, hold on.
You're going to laugh hysterically when I tell you who it is. It's a New York guy.
Oh my God. I want to say Mac.
Yep, that's exactly.
Oh my God, yes!
We interviewed Mac a couple weeks
ago. Oh my God, I totally see it.
Colin had suggested it. He's like, dude, you got to get Monster Mac. And I'm like, all right, man. Like, the dude's a legend. I've known him since like 2002. Like, I'm like, definitely, I'll talk to Mac. So we talk and everything. And then I see Colin afterwards. And I'm like, dude, thank you so much for like the assist on that. It was so good. He goes, you realize that was a rib, right? I'm like, how is it a rib? And it was him, Gotch, Deshaun Pratt, and somebody else. And they're like, because you are his twin. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, it's a compliment to me. I'm not sure it's a compliment to Mac.
You really do look like him, bro. That's pretty awesome. Like, that's all I'm going to see from now on, dude.
I was just like, all right. Like, so now the joke is, I sent him a message and he's like, he tweeted back out. He's like, I've always wanted a little brother to beat the shit out of. We could be twins. And then my little brother responded to that with, finally. It was fantastic.
Oh, my goodness. We're getting you versus Monster Mac. We got to get you to
Monster
ring.
Mac versus the world.
Versus the world. Let's go.
All right. So explain the Power Ranger helmet. I know how you got it now. Tell me why you love the Power Rangers.
I've always been a huge fan of Power Rangers. I grew up with them. My cousin and I used to go hard. Like, a lot of people grew up with, you know, a lot of people have stories, especially on these podcasts, about, like, you know, how they grew up with wrestling. I didn't really have that privilege. I did not grow up with wrestling whatsoever. My first wrestling match I ever watched was the first ever Elimination Chamber. So I was not in the loop whatsoever. But what I was watching was a lot of 90s Nickelodeon and Power Rangers. All the time.
That's funny to me because Power Rangers, the only time I ever watched Power Rangers growing up was because it led, like the last 10 minutes, because it led into wrestling.
Wow. Okay, tell you the truth, I never even knew that.
Yeah, it led into NWA and WCW.
That's really crazy. I never really paid attention to that. It was
Saturday
always
night
just
Sunday night. It was
that's
yeah,
very
always.
Insane.
So, like, I would watch the last few minutes of it. Like, I'm a little bit older than you. You know, I'm pushing 40 very quickly. But, you know, to me, like, I grew up watching the NWA. Like, that was my babysitter. My mom would put me in front of the TV, and as long as it was wrestling, I would just stay there. And apparently, that's how they got me to sit still.
So that's pretty awesome.
It is. It's
that's
kinda
fucking
like,
incredible. Wrestling is what got you to behave.
Yeah,
that's
like
freaking amazing.
Because I would say, look, larger than life characters. Like it was fun to watch. Like I loved it. And you know, obviously, growing up, there are periods of time you go in and out of it. But yeah, no, that was the coolest part. So I assume that you had watched after Power Rangers to watch wrestling. But that's interesting that you didn't.
No, never. I never really. I mean, I might have seen a couple of things, but I never like watched it. It's on the same level as like your Power Rangers watching. Like you watch like the last couple of minutes, and then it would transition into wrestling. So you never really like took the time like watch like a whole like season.
Yep.
At that age, it was the exact opposite for me. I was watching seasons upon seasons of Power Rangers, and then like maybe like the first 3 or 4 minutes of wrestling came on, and then okay, wrestling's on. I never really paid too much attention to it. I fell in love with it. Really, I fell in love with it watching Randy Orton, Triple H, pretty much Evolution.
Yeah.
Watching Evolution was like, okay, wrestling is the shit.
Yeah. Greg and I will argue with anybody that the best year in WWE history is 2002.
2002-2003 was pretty damn incredible.
It was. We went to two pay-per-views that year. We went to both. It was SummerSlam, and then we went to Survivor Series. It was because one was in Long Island and one was at the Garden. And holy shit, the matches. You're talking the first ever Elimination Chamber and Shawn Michaels' comeback and Brock versus Rock.
So one of the pay-per-views that you went to in that year was the first pay-per-view that I've ever seen.
We're releasing I think we released it today on SummerSlam 2002.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah, oh, dude, it was the most fun. I mean, I've been to two WrestleManias, and they're cool. Like, loved it. We went to 20, and I went to 29 with the guys. They went again last year.
29, man.
Yeah, 29.
I'm trying to compare you going to 20, and then 29 is like,
yeah, it was
damn.
Yeah, 20 was cool, you know, because I was a huge Benoit guy.
And you got the moment.
I was a huge Benoit guy because I was a huge Dynamite Kid guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you ask me, you know, my top five wrestlers, Dynamite Kid is the one that surprises non-wrestlers. Wrestlers get why I love Dynamite Kid, but fans have no clue how good that dude was. Like, he was insane and so much fun to watch. And I heard he was a total dick, but I'll let that go. He's allowed. Where did you take your influences in wrestling, especially starting as late as you did? Who do you kind of steal moves from and get the ideas?
Honestly, I paid a lot of attention to really Dijakovic. Like, he and I have very similar body types, very similar style. And I pretty much studied a lot of the stuff that he did, especially before his NXT days.
Yep.
I watched a ton of Dijak. I've even messaged him. I have him private Facebook, and I message him sometimes and was trying to, you know, how can I do certain things better, especially with the size. I think that was also one of my biggest problems, was that when I was younger, starting out in wrestling, I was still this tall. I've been 6'5", borderline 6'6", ever since pretty much like the middle of high school. I've been this height. But the only problem was that when I was younger, I weighed like 150.
You see, we have two very different problems. I'm like 5'6" since I was in third grade, and yeah. And never had to worry about being too small.
I mean, it happens, bro. These type of things happen. Growing up's weird.
It is.
But yeah, it took forever for me to put on size. And until that size came, that's where I pretty much started to gain my confidence, you know. A lot of the moves I was doing, you know, back then was like a lot of like flips and stuff, but nothing really too impactful. I was also just wrestling for the pops, you know. I wasn't really paying attention to everything. I wasn't being as cognizant of everything, you know, fans, match structure, story, psychology, all that stuff wasn't really, I just wanted to do cool stuff because I had size and I wasn't, in terms of height, and I wasn't big, so I could do all these corkscrews and moonsaults and all this cool stuff. But I realized down the line that stuff doesn't always really matter. You know, sometimes it's about that connection. That's what really matters when it comes to wrestling, the connection with the fans. So that's also why Synergy was such a huge deal, was because I connected with a lot of people on a different level. Because I've been wrestling for a while, but I guarantee that a lot of people have never heard of Matt Vertigo until that moment in Synergy. That's when the word got out.
It definitely did. I watched your followers go up significantly.
Yeah, hopefully it continues to go up significantly.
We're going to push you to the moon. I promise you that. It'll get to the point where you're annoyed with me retweeting everything you send out. That's
I can never get annoyed by that, brother.
That's what everybody says. And, you know, that's fun. You know, and maybe.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
You know what my favorite is? I bet you think you follow me because you follow Greg. You only follow the show, you don't follow me. We
what?
both we both have the same logo. So when somebody follows one of us, they assume they followed the other.
That, okay, see, that just blew my mind.
I wasn't ready. Fred uses the show handle, and I use Chris, you know, as mine. So, it was, you know, figured I'd get that in there.
All right, good. So now we need to make sure that you get followed. I repeat all your stuff, too.
Twitter has been the coolest thing for me. Because, like, so I just recently, over the last 2 months, I've dropped 30 pounds and been working out like a madman.
Congratulations.
Finally, things kind of clicked with me and, you know, just started. Like, LSG's been super helpful with it. Like, he hooked me up. He is the most down-to-earth, super talented dude on the face of the planet.
Like, I've known him for so long. This dude is incredible.
Like, I put up a message one time, like, just having a shit day, and dude's in my DMs going, "You good, man?" And I'm just like, "Dude, you're a legit great guy. Like, you didn't have to. Like, we interviewed you on a podcast, and I told him now he's a friend for life, you know, because of that. Like, I appreciate that, and obviously being from New York, anybody that goes out of their way for me, I will always return the favor two times as much.
Seriously, that's one thing that people don't get about New Yorkers. Is like, they think we're all mean and like batshit crazy and just want to fight all the time and angry all the time.
Well, we do that too, but if we like you, we love you.
But in the reality is that, like, we have such big hearts as New Yorkers that, like, once you do something really, really nice and kind, it's like it just sticks forever. Like, something like that just sticks with you forever. And then we start showing you the utmost amount of love back. All that hatred and anger, you probably won't get that attention again.
No, not like,
care about you so much.
But you'll see the hatred and anger when somebody goes at you. Like,
correct.
Somebody went at
real quick, 0 to 100.
Colin, and it was because of this Heat Seeker name. So I guess there's a tag team named the Heat Seekers, and a referee tagged them in it. And the one guy, I guess, was a little stressed out about buying a house and everything else going on. And he tweeted with a lawyer added in the, and like, I knew who the lawyer was. Cause every once in a while, if I want to laugh, I listen to Jim Cornette because the guy's batshit crazy. And he always advertises on Cornette's show. So I'm like, that motherfucker's a legit, like, lawyer. So my response to the guy was, "Who are you?" And then the lawyer responded to me and was like, "He is a member of the Heat Seekers. We are working to trademark that name." And I'm like, "So you didn't trademark it yet, huh?" And he's in radio silence.
Well,
and then this is why I respect him so much. The businessman clicked in. Like, he originally sent something, deleted it, and the businessman went in and kind of squashed it, and I was very impressed with how he handled it. And then so I DM'd the Heat Seekers, and they're going to be on the show next week.
That's awesome.
You know, I was 3/4 fucking around, 1/4 defending my friend. You know, hey, I got a platform. You guys want to talk? And they're like, "Fuck."
Listen, all right. See, that's how we as New Yorkers handle shit. We may come at you strong as hell. You may get a little bit of lip, but at the end of it, we're going to be cool. Just ride the wave.
Growing up, my best friends were dudes I got into scraps with.
Like, yes, my best friends. I have fought my best friends.
It's like, all right. Now I respect the shit out of you. Like, we're good. Let's go. I know you got my back and I got yours. We're done. But the difference now is, like, because obviously I told you I teach in the Bronx. I can't tell my kids to do that. Because who's bringing more? Yeah, you to can't the tell party?
Your kids. In 2020, you can't tell your kids to do that.
Now, but who? It's more dangerous now. Like, it was never going to be anything but a fist fight. When I was younger.
Exactly. Now you don't know what it could turn into. It's probably going to be
anything but a fist fight.
I agree. So, yeah, nowadays you do have to keep yourself and your kids safe and teach them the right way to handle things. But if we're talking about, like, early 2000s, like early 2000s, 1990s, it's like, okay, we're clearly going to settle this only one way. We're going to have to fight. But after that, we're going to get a burger.
You mean it's not normal to stand in a bar with your best friend so that somebody has to push through you to go to get to the bar only for you to say, you're going to say, excuse me? Like, that's not right? normal? I thought that was.
I thought that was normal.
Yeah, it's crazy. How dare people think that I'm bizarre? It is socially acceptable to be an asshole back in the day.
Man, have things changed, bro.
Seriously. I pity my kids that are, like, my students that are going to college. Like,
I'm like, oh, dude. You're
not having the same college experience that I had.
You're not. They're not. Have
ruined that.
Oh, man. Oh, that internet pretty much ruined that.
Yeah, but you know what? If it wasn't for the internet in high school, I probably wouldn't have had nearly as many dates.
I mean, that's true. But the internet in high school and the internet now are like two completely different levels.
That was like where you had to work for it. You couldn't swipe left. You had to actually.
Yeah, exactly. You had to do something. You couldn't just do a quick, easy click and then just move on. Like, no, you had to put in time and effort. It was like a game. You had to grind.
We were down the shore last week with my parents, my wife, myself, my brother and his family, and my dad just absolutely fired a shot at me, and he goes, somehow internet dating came up, and my dad goes to my wife, you know, Chris knew what internet dating was before internet dating was a thing.
Your dad sounds like the dopest dude. We gotta get your dad on a podcast.
No, he would never. I would love for him to listen just once. He won't. No shot. Neither will my wife. She's like, I don't care how good you think it is. I don't want to listen. I'm like, but they're not really about wrestling. It's just bullshit.
Yeah, she's about like, everything.
She's like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm like, okay. Go put back on your Cardi B. I get it.
Jesus. No.
Hilariousness. She actually, so Cardi B, I teach at Lehman, and I was a dean at Lehman High School, and her sister was still in school at Lehman. She was at one of the smaller schools within it. Oh, man, she tortured us. She would run around the school out of control. Yeah, it was nuts.
Dude.
Her sister, Hennessy.
That sounds like a complete pain in the ass to deal with.
It was a daily occurrence, but it was fun. Like, you laugh, and one day I'm going to write the book.
Daily?
Without a doubt. Dude, there are so many great, like, one day I will legitimately sit down and write a book about my 3 years deaning in New York City, and it will be a bestseller because people won't believe it.
Like, all right, yeah, you got to write it. Don't even waste time. Like, start writing it now.
I should have done it during quarantine. It would have been a good use of my time, but of course not. that was meant for interviewing.
This was a good use of your time.
Oh, it was great. You've been
doing a hell of a lot of interviews.
This was a great use of my time. I love it. I found something that I thoroughly enjoy that doesn't take up my entire life, takes up a couple of hours a day when there's really not much else I can do. We do it at night, so what else am I going to be doing besides watching wrestling? And if I wait till when wrestling's over, I can skip through the stuff I don't want to watch. And then I don't bitch about things because I didn't watch what I didn't want to watch. It's really...
Isn't it great?
I don't get why people don't get that. Like, I don't like everything I watch, but I don't need to talk about what I don't like. Let's talk about what I absolutely adored.
Yes, you love on the positive side of things. That's the reason why I feel like when it comes to televised wrestling in 2020, people, whether it's the network, whether it's the fans, critics, whatever, need to stop caring about ratings. Ratings is not everything. If there's no way to find out how many people rewatched the episode, rating does not matter. No. You could have 900,000 people watch the live show, and then 3 million people watch like a recording of it, or a taping of it, or an upload of it. So it's like, does ratings really matter outside of the money and the commercial aspect? Like, what does ratings truly mean in 2020?
The reality is, I'm going to say 80% of wrestling fans watch both shows. Some of them, the AEW fans will never acknowledge that they watch NXT. NXT fans will never acknowledge they watch the AEW show, but 80% of them watch both because they, deep down, they like something on both.
Yeah, but the problem with it, regardless, is that if I'm watching AEW live on my TV, right, that's one number towards the ratings that AEW is getting. And if I watch NXT, if I stream it on my computer so I can watch it at the same time, NXT's not getting any ratings towards that stream, but I'm watching it.
Yeah.
I'm watching it live. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the main issue when it comes to this ratings war thing that they're trying to do. Is that this isn't the 90s. The ratings war does not mean what it meant back then.
No, not at all. And the number of people...
No, like, more neither.
I don't have cable. I watch through...
I stream like most of the stuff that I want to watch.
Everything I watch is through some sort of streaming source because I got sick of paying cable companies so much fucking money.
Yeah, and fuck cable companies.
Seriously. That is no joke. They suck.
They do suck.
And what I watch doesn't count towards anybody's ratings.
Exactly. But that's the point.
Really,
you're a huge wrestling fan and nothing matters in the eyes of them because you weren't watching on cable. And I think that's the problem. People care too much about this cable thing, which I think cable is going to be gone in our lifetime. I don't see me being 50 and cable still being a thing.
No, I could definitely see that happening. There are times streaming when I hate that I only watch through streaming, though. I will admit that. There are times when it's like I can't find anything on any of the platforms that we have, and we have like 17. And it's just like, I may or may not share with my brother-in-law certain things. He may have my Netflix. I may have his Hulu, which got me Disney Plus.
That's how you do it.
You know, and in doing so, we learn to pay for the bigger package on Netflix because this way we don't have to tell someone to turn it off because I want to watch it.
Exactly.
That happened a couple of times where I was like, really? Everybody else is on, so I can't watch my own Netflix? And I'm like, all right, I'm not going to be a dick. I'm just going to pay the extra $5.
Upgrade.
Yeah. You know, Disney Plus is something I'm little by little getting into. I was never a big Disney guy. I get made fun of mercilessly by everybody about it. Just all the newer ones came out after I was like that 14 and 15 year old kid needing to go on dates. Like, I was an adult. I didn't need to see The Little Mermaid, you know, and that was a fun one last night. We went down a rabbit hole with Gotch about Frozen. That was,
dude, that's a good one.
Oh my God. So I got tricked into watching Frozen. I thought I was about to watch Ice Age. And then we're about 10 minutes in, and I go, where are all the fucking animals, Robin? And she's like, this is Frozen. It's about a princess, not the animals. That's Ice Age. And I'm like, oh, well, this is going to suck.
Jesus Christ.
I'll watch it because I promised, but I need to do research next time.
But then after you watched it.
It wasn't bad. It was right? Not bad.
Frozen is, tell you the truth, for real, you watched Frozen 1, right?
Yes.
All right, you got to watch Frozen 2.
Okay.
I promise you, it is beyond better than Frozen 1. You'll probably fall more into the story with Frozen 2, because Frozen 1, like I said, you're right, it's more princessy, it's more about the girls, while Frozen 2 is a whole different journey. You'll like Frozen 2.
I'll take a look at it. My wife will be happy. Now all of a sudden, you will replace Blanco Loco as her favorite independent wrestler.
I'm telling you, bro. Watch. I'm putting you on. Tell your wife right now. We're gonna watch Frozen 2. Watch your eyes gleam with joy and have a wonderful night. Frozen 2 is dope. Trust me.
I don't know if I'm gonna do it tonight, but I will definitely
not tonight.
Do it
whenever you get the chance,
I will definitely do it, and I will immediately DM you what I thought of the show. Or
tell you, as long as you think it's better than Frozen 1, that's it.
Absolutely.
I just want to hear if you think it's better than Frozen 1.
Definitely. Yeah. So, listen, I don't want to wrap up, but at the same time, I want to save some stuff for when we can get Greg in on the mix. So
for sure, definitely. Yeah. I would love to come back and work with the both of you. You know, that's going to be a super, super fun show.
Absolutely. So why don't you plug your social media, plug your t-shirt store, everything.
Yeah, dude, definitely. Check me out on Teesprings. I have my own special Teesprings store that has all exclusive merchandise. That's teesprings.com/vertigoapparel. I got everything from, you know, I got pillows, I have mugs, I have shirts, I have hoodies. Check it out. It's a really cool shop to check out some other things. Not only Matt Vertigo merchandise is on there, I also have just my own stuff. I have what's it called? Avatar stuff that I design. One of my favorite shows, if you didn't know, is Avatar The Last Airbender. And I design a lot of cool merchandise around that. So I have that on there as well. Follow me on Instagram at Matt_Vertigo_Pro. All of my video content generally gets uploaded to Instagram if you don't see it on Twitter. And you can always follow me on Twitter at Matt Vertigo. You know, that's pretty much everything social media wise. Oh yeah, pro wrestling tees. That, go check out my pro wrestling tee store. Just search Matt Vertigo. You'll see everything. I only got two stuff on there, so it's a little bit limited. But like I said, if you're really interested in getting Matt Vertigo merch, check out my Teespring shop for sure.
Awesome. And I'll definitely link that in the description for you. Make sure we get everything out. And by me, yes, I mean dude, Greg. Greg does that. The editing, so he'll make sure it gets in there.
But come on, Greg. You got this, bro.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Matt, you're an absolutely awesome guest. So much fun talking to you. You know, can't wait to do it again soon. You know, we'll definitely catch up after the Synergy show on the 29th. That'll be awesome.
Oh yeah, definitely. Let's definitely hook up for that Synergy show. So then we can do this all over again. You know, this is only part one. Who knows how many parts we're gonna have? We could keep going.
Absolutely, we'll get you on our post show that day.
Definitely, I'm all about it.
Awesome. So everybody can follow us at the DDT Archives. You can follow me at Chris_DDTHSLB. Matt, you should probably make sure you take note of that Twitter handle.
right now. I'm going.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, sorry for flying solo. Greg, we miss you. Hope you enjoyed the show, brother. We'll talk to you soon.